hate New York City. It's cold and it's damp, and all the people dressed like monkeys. Let's leave Chicago to the Eskimo. That town's a little bit too rugged for you and me.
Greetings, salutations, and good morning, sports fans! And a privilege to be here on this brilliant, wonderful Wednesday show as I am letting out my emotions here after a big 89-67 victory for the Lakers. We're going to Game 7, folks, here in the NBA Finals. Words cannot even describe how I am feeling tonight. Relief, I think, is a word that comes to mind as I see the Lakers avert elimination, and in a big way, but with no other way than their defense. 67 points a team, as talented as the Boston Celtics, who apparently were supposed to have the deeper bench in the series, the bench had been badly outscored by the Laker bench at 121-0. I don't have the final stats on me, I don't have the final tallies. I'm doing this podcast literally right after the game ended. But bottom line, Lakers faced elimination. Boston kind of played like they were up a game in the series. And the Lakers make it. The Lakers dominate. There is no way around it. And they win 89-67. I can say I am nothing but surprised at the result. Pleasantly so. And I knew that the Lakers had this in them. But I just wasn't sure. I just didn't know. And I didn't have my doubts. And I think we all did here in Los Angeles. Again, this is the Dave in the City podcast. Sorry to bring this late. Locks of the Week Radio. I'm your host, Dave Medina. Much elated over the big Laker victory tonight. The defense, though, I think was the star of the show. Kobe was huge. Artest with some big baskets in this game. And really, a lot of players did the right thing. But I just felt like the defense was the star of the show. Although, you can say that the Celtics missed a lot of opportunities. They missed a lot of big shots. Missed a lot of easy shots. I don't know what else to tell you. It's just, I completely didn't see it happening. I really can't believe it's going to be a seventh game. We've had, since 1985, when they instituted the 2-3-2 format, we've had 3 7-game series up to now. Game 7 in 1988 was between the Lakers and the Pistons at the Forum. A very similar situation to the one that we face today. The Lakers were down 3-2 going into Game 6, and it took some very heroic efforts for the Lakers to stave off the Detroit Pistons to force the Game 7, also a toughly fought battle. The next instance of a Game 7 took place a few years later, in 1994, when the Houston Rockets played the New York Knickerbockers at the Summit, the Houston Rockets won the game. It was a close one, and heartbreak for the citizens of New York. The third Game 7 was a rather forgettable one. I don't even remember the score, but it was in 2005 between the Pistons and the Spurs. This game was played at the SBC Center in San Antonio, although at that point it was probably called the AT&T Center. And the Spurs took care of business in a big way, and they won that game going away, basically. So 3 Game 7 since the institution of the 2-3-2 format spanning 25 years. Thursday, we are going to see our fourth. And it's just so exciting! And so I had to get this in right away, because I'm going to get a lot of correspondence from my friends. We're going to talk off air tonight. I'm not going to have a lot of time to talk about a lot of things. It's going to be a busy night, I think, for the next couple days. but I was really heading to the gallows. I mean, you heard my podcast yesterday. I didn't have a lot of hope for the team. And, you know, if you looked at how they did in games 4 and 5, there was reason to feel that way. And I just never realized what a difference a home court makes. All your bench players play better. All your defenders are more active. All your physicality is accounted for. And on the other end, you get a little credit when you're in the paint. Were there flaws in the game? There were still flaws in the game. You know, Lamar Odom still had a very tough night last night. And it really wasn't a great performance. And I think it leads me to believe that there's something pretty serious that's wrong with him, whether it's be on a personal level or otherwise. He could be facing some issues, and it's probably beyond this game of basketball. So I'm going to have to lay it up on him now because I've been tearing him apart. But I think something serious is wrong with him. I mean, either that or maybe something's happening. Maybe there's something wrong with his wife, Chloe. I don't know. But, you know, I'm going to let it go because even in a victory, he really had a rough, tough night. He had open looks, and he was missing most of them. The thing is, this is the scary thing about Odom. Lamar Odom is consistently inconsistent. So to see him be consistently struggling throughout the series, even in a game here where he had very wide open looks, goes to show you that maybe there's something more to this than meets the eye, and I'm just going to have to let it go. We're just going to have to live with it. But that's not important right now. The Lakers, in a situation where they could have lost the 2010 championship right here and there, right here and now, on the home court, in a situation where they face a team and a historic franchise that has done this very thing before. They've done it at least twice. They did it in 1969 in a Game 7. They did it in 1963 in Bob Cousy's last game at the Sports Arena in L.A. Beat the Lakers then. Game 6 back then. But the Lakers can and have clinched championships on the Lakers. The Celtics can and have clinched championships on the Lakers' home court. And tonight looked like a chance to really seize the moment. And the Celtics did nothing of the sort. They came out, they played all right, but then really, they were very, very, very slow. They were very worn out. And for a team that had just won back-to-back games, it was a little surprising how little they put out offensively. Now, the defense was still okay. I mean, it's not like the Celtics gave up 190 points. 89-67. You know, considering that effort, it's pretty good effort. I mean, the Lakers scored basically the same number of points, and they lost in Game 5. So the Celtics' defense wasn't terrible, but it obviously wasn't good because they were giving them over 50% shooting in the first half, more of the same in the second half. And then, really, you had a lot of garbage time from the end of the third quarter into the fourth and through the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I think you could say at the end of the day, the Celtics really left a lot to be desired in trying to guard the paint, trying to guard everything as a whole. They were leaving too many people open. They were letting things get loose. And the Celtics, for their part, were getting a little loose themselves, too much so. So the Celtics had a real chance to take this, and you got to be really careful if you don't take your opportunities when you have them. Now you're in a Game 7. Who knows? Who knows what could happen in that situation? But the bottom line is the Lakers, they looked like they were dead. It looked like it was over. It looked like it all was done. And quite frankly, it's not. And we're going to Game 7 in the NBA Finals. It doesn't get any better than this. It's going to be for everything on the line in 48 minutes. And I'm going to try to invite everybody I know to this game to watch. I'm going to invite everybody. Everybody gets to come. It's going to be thrilling. And at this point, because the Lakers came out here, and not only did they win, but they came out and they took the wood to the Celtics. Because of all of this, I firmly believe the Lakers have proven that they belong. And I think that's what I've wanted to see all along in this series. Ever since in Game 1, and Game 2, Game 3, Game 4, Game 5, now Game 6, they have shown, without a shadow of a doubt, they belong. And you didn't really feel that way in 2008. It's a different team this year. They do have a lot of holes. The Celtics do as well. And they're fine. So here we are at the 10-minute mark of a very short podcast today. I'm not going to go into very... I mean, this is going to be it. I'm just too giddy. I don't think I can give you a competent broadcast further than maybe 15, 20 minutes today. So I'm just going to leave it at this. But I will address one thing that's very important that I think is going to affect Game 7. And I think it's you know, people looked at it, well, that's too bad, but it's actually going to be much bigger. It's going to be a bigger loss than you realize. And that's Kendrick Perkins. And he left pretty early in the game. And the irony of it all is that Perkins and Bynum, who we already know is known for these kind of injuries, were getting in a tussle under the basket. And of all things, Perkins is the one who has to leave the game with a what looked like a pretty rough injury. And, you know, a guy that can take a beating like Perkins doesn't really show that kind of emotion too often. And when he showed that kind of pain, visible pain, you had to feel for the guy. And now you really worry about whether he'll make it back for Game 7. That remains to be seen. But it is, even in that game and carrying into Game 7, this is going to be a huge, huge blow. And another irony to this outcome is that many had thought that because Perkins was riding that seventh technical, or riding that sixth technical and was on to seventh, there was a chance that he could have been kicked out of a game through a suspension by getting that seventh technical foul. You're only allowed seven. You're only allowed six in the course of a playoff season until you get that seventh, and then you have to sit out the next game. But the irony lies in the fact that he has a chance to miss the next game, but not due to any technicals, but due to an injury. And to compound the irony, the man who really was going against him at the time was Andrew Bynum, a guy known to get these kind of injuries for just that same thing, hustling for a rebound. Now, Bynum didn't figure much in the second half of the game. He barely figured it in the first half of the game as well. But he really did give the Lakers a boost early on. And I got to tell you, you know, seeing Bynum and Perkins get involved like that, if anybody, you thought that Bynum would have been one laying in there on the floor, gripping onto something and just moaning and just saying he was done. Not so. And that's the crazy thing about sports. You just never know. But, you know, I really hope that Perkins is okay. I hope he can come back. I really hope he'll be there for Game 7. I'd hate to see this team shorthanded for a big game like that, but we'll see. But overall, just an unbelievable spectacle for the Lakers tonight. We are getting a Game 7. And I know that teams can win Game 7s on the road, but in the finals, going back many years, three teams in the entire history of the NBA have won a Game 7 on the road. The last team to do it was the Washington Bullets, 1978, against the Seattle Supersonics. Interesting point about that, though, is that the Sonics avenged that loss the very next year, beating the same team, the Washington Bullets. But still, there hasn't been a Game 7 won on the road in 30 years. And the other notable one, as you know, was that 1969 thriller between the Celtics and the Lakers at the Forum. And on top of that, you'll notice that these games seem to occur about the same time of the decade, either late decade, early next decade. So 1978, 1988, 1969, 1978. Those were the two notable road victories in Game 7. So it's only happened three times in the long 60-plus year history of the NBA. Pretty strong. And we got it going on Thursday night. I want you all to be there, and we hope that we'll be there too. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening and putting up with me. My prediction for this game is no prediction. I don't know who wins. I don't care. We are here. I'm just so thankful that we even have this game to play. The Lakers could have easily been done. They had a chance to win. They seized it. And on we go. Game 7, Thursday. Be there. We'll see you next time, everybody. Have a good one, everyone.